the queen of entertainment, the queen of socializing and updating you on everything that's happening in Hollywood.
Keith Parrish.
I want to say happy birthday. You the queen of entertainment. If I didn't marry Cookie, we would be married right now.
Ooh.
You sexy, sweet thing, you.
Sounds
happy
like a thread.
Birthday to you.
Thanks, Magic.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
happy birthday.
A little bit of flair.
Dear
Keith.
That little Luther there. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, Keith.
Arrive safely. And happy birthday, Keith. From Magic Fuck Johnson.
Happy birthday, Keith. Here is your gift. You can't really open it because you're holding a baby. So Chuck will open it and present it to you.
Here we go. Comes from a bag. Old made good. Oh, geez. It's already.
I buy old things.
This is the Larry Bird story of my life. Larry Bird Drive. It's the autobiography by Larry Bird and Bob, older than God, Ryan.
That's right.
Forward by none other than
the
Magic
aforementioned
Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
So the mustache here on the Larry Bird autobiography is incredible.
Faint stash.
So it's a flesh-colored type. It's insane.
I'd be disappointed if it wasn't otherwise. Anyway, let's start the show.
Mm.
All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck, who I haven't seen in a month, and John.
Hey now.
It's been like 3 weeks.
Hey now.
I stole your Hankism.
Stole my hey now.
You did steal the hey now. Thank you for the birthday wishes. There was a custom video at the end there. They did a little mirror image of my face, so I looked like actually a creature from either version of the thing.
Mm.
Where my face had split into two and was actually highly disturbing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm teaching myself how to use computadora.
It is my birthday as we record this on Tuesday.
38?
No, higher.
39.
Almost.
Woo!
Almost the big one. Hi, Kobe Bryant and I and Shane Battier all the same age.
Catching up to Vinsanity.
Never going to catch him.
He will always be younger.
Unless he dies.
Then you'll catch him.
And how?
And then you'll catch him.
So it was it's been a good birthday.
If he dies, we need to harvest that cadaver.
Oh, I agree.
Those organs are priceless.
I want his pineal gland.
I want his what makes you jump?
Perineum.
The Achilles tendon.
Oh, you mean
I see.
You mean like jump in the? I mean,
you meant Daddy Mac will make you.
It'll make you jump. Yeah. No, for my birthday, this takes us right to breakfast.
Get it.
Oh, I had some hipster donuts.
Woo!
$5 donuts.
I only ate one. It was so rich. And I just don't mean the price. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife went and got me $10 worth of donuts, which is two donuts.
Yeah.
And she's like, what should I get the boy? Because he's going to want a donut. I'm like, just whatever's the smallest and cheapest thing, which was probably a $4 donut. So.
Well, the reason this podcast works is because Chuck and I also had donuts.
Yes.
But of the cheapest possible
gas station
variety.
Krispy Kreme. I had a jelly filled.
And, I went straight up just old school glazed.
And actually, that wasn't even my breakfast.
Oh, that's right.
My actual breakfast.
This was breakfast dessert.
This was that was my digestif.
Mm.
My actual breakfast was six deviled eggs from Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, I wish that had not been the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what
breakfast.
I did. That's what I did first of all, and they were made by a member of the band Cherub.
At what rate did you eat these deviled eggs?
I ate them meticulously. I put salt on them.
So
I made sure there was.
We're
a little
talking
hot sauce.
About
2 day old deviled
over
eggs.
Over 36 hours from the Super Bowl.
But look, they refrigerated. Well.
They were refrigerated.
Of
they weren't
course.
Just. Sitting.
They sat out for hours, and you know
they
it.
Were
in
just
the Super Bowl
sitting
they did.
In their mayonnaise.
But look, it's
those
fine.
Things were cooked by people's sweat.
There's probably a little bit of MDMA in
and Pat's fan despair, yeah. If those are Jordans, there's probably, yeah.
Jordan made them.
You might GHB's going to kick in any second now.
I can't wait.
Can you get secondhand GHB?
Perhaps. Put that baby down.
Through the sweat.
So, Chuck, maybe you can help me with this. With the kid, with the little boy. You know, right. My boy's three.
Right.
He does not want to pee-pee in the potty.
Oof.
He understands he's supposed to.
Where does he pee? Pants or just out?
Well, diaper. Diaper. Oh, okay. Diaper. But so, like, everyone's like, you got to incentivize it.
Right.
You got to
right.
You got to make, like, hey, if you have this, you can have ice cream. You right. have this, you can have toys. He understands everything. So then we're like, all right. Like, do you want to, he's like, do you want some ice cream? He's like, yes, if I pee-pee in the potty, I get ice cream. You want to pee-pee in the potty? No, I do not. And so then we started, like, taking away things, being like, hey, so no more cookie or candy until you pee-pee in the potty. And he's like, okay.
Oh.
So now he's just acknowledged he's just losing things.
Right.
And he's okay. He loves the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. We've been watching it. Yeah, it's February. We just keep on watching it. And we're like, hey, you need to pee-pee in the potty. So no more Charlie Brown Christmas movie until you pee-pee in the potty. He's like, okay, no more Charlie Brown Christmas movie. Man. And so now I feel like this is a terrible tact we've taken.
Keith, I have terrible news. This never goes away. My girlfriend will wake up in the morning, come and stare at my penis while I pee, and ask me, why can't I get more in the toilet?
But she's not. But the thing that's bothering me is he understands, like, we bought him toys.
Right.
And it's like, you can open that toy when you pee-pee in the potty. Mm-hmm. But he...
You're going to have to buy thousands upon thousands of toys.
Like, he now just acknowledges, eventually, everything I like will be taken away. Because I'm not going to pee-pee in the potty.
This is dark.
And he's like, oh, I guess I can't watch TV anymore.
You ever seen the movie We Need to Talk About Kevin?
I haven't, actually.
We need to talk about Chase Buddy Buttinger. That's how this movie basically begins in this scenario.
So let me give you some of that dad of the year advice.
Yes,
you just need better toys, dude. Like, go and get you Power Wheels. Step it up. And just look at this great thing that you could be doing. You're not going to be able to do it until you pee in the potty.
The list of things that he gets when he, like, starts using the potty is so long, and he can name them all.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you.
This isn't working.
It isn't working.
Yeah, just...
I think he has a little bit of me in him, a little bit of give up.
Yeah.
And he's like, guess I don't have that anymore. Well, guess I'll never be a professional composer.
It is. Like, it is good to know that he kind of just acquiesces to the...
Completely acquiesces.
The awfulness of life and how it just deals you all that nastiness.
I'm not joking.
He's just...
He was playing by himself one day, was whispering to himself, everything will always break. Everything will always break. Everything will go. Cool.
That's what happens when your daddy's a grizzly
like end of an episode of Westworld. He's like an android wandered off into the wilderness.
Really, really is.
I had my son.
The circuitry's not quite right.
My son was like, he was about 3 months shy of his third birthday when he started pooping in the toilet. And he had to because he was taking like 100-pound Dalmatian dumps.
Well, that's the thing. Son, you're too large. The diaper cannot take it.
We cannot. There's no structural compatibility for these size.
Does he
poops.
Like to do the second one in the toilet or nothing?
Nothing.
No. That's
if you can't get the
away.
Pee, you oh, really? Can't. Yeah, okay. The poop's never going to happen.
I mean, I understand that.
I'll be damned.
That part seems more difficult. But come on, like peeing in the water, that's fun.
Right. It is.
Like, why isn't it fun?
You throw Cheerios in there?
Yeah.
And that's good. See good, like, hey, hit the targets. My son loved that.
Target practice?
What are you guys talking about?
You throw Cheerios in the toilet, and then the kid has something to aim at, and he's playing like a water gun.
We got little inflatable animals.
What?
You drop them in the toilet. They grow into animals. Little pills.
Yeah. You shoot the dinosaur.
Maybe your girlfriend should try this with you, John.
Shrimp monkeys? What are they called?
Basically, monkey.
Sea monkeys?
Sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys.
I mean, well, my problem is like... Guys, I am doing the best I can to get that urine in that toilet. And, like, I mean, it's cool, I guess, that she wants to look at my wiener, but not then.
Not that
not,
way.
Not that
not
way.
At that moment.
Never, morning, never, never that way.
Not and really, glorious. With my wiener, I don't want anyone looking at it.
It's a smart
Yeah, I always feel bad good for the guys play. Doing the drug tests.
Yeah, I'm like,
that's a good way, I guess, to
do you know what you could
NBA?
Do solve the whole thing? When I was in the military, our urinals had to be in inspection quality, so no one could use a urinal. But what you could use was the stall. And I made sit down and pee. That way there was no splashing.
That's couldn't. So abhorrent. I told you guys about my friend Ruffin peeing on a squirrel, right?
That's an incredible story, and I want to hear it.
So boarding school, you end up going to school with people named Ruffin. Ruffin Pauling the Fifth,
it sounds,
I might add.
That sounds like an extinct bird.
Of the Carolina Ruffins. But that's a puffin you're thinking of,
yes.
I believe. So one night he comes to us, guys. He goes, guys, you're not going to believe this. So last night, go into the bathroom, sit down to pee, start peeing. look down, I'm peeing all over a live squirrel. No one bats an eyelash over peeing on a live squirrel. Everyone is hung up on, wait, you sit down to pee? He's like, oh, you guys don't do that? I was really tired. Like, no, man, and you're not our friend anymore.
I'll sit down at night.
At night so I don't have to turn on the light.
Yeah. No light action.
Just like, and wow. You can like rest your head on your
I would
hand.
Rather piss over every inch of that toilet, like bathroom,
which
sit down to
which
pee.
Which is why you have problems.
Yeah.
I'm actually now on your girlfriend's side.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting down to pee, man.
This is toxic masculinity.
Some things you don't do. This guy also, to let you know I'm dealing with Ruffin Pauling, who I also was at his wedding where he was left at the altar.
Oh, my
this
goodness.
This guy's had a tragic life. I hope he's not hearing this. He also
I was like, that's
spent his life until we told him, spent his entire life until boarding school thinking lard was poop.
Mm. Oh.
And he thought that you used poop to season and cook things.
That would cause some problems.
I was going to say.
And he still ate the stuff that was cooked
the,
in.
The left of the poop. Altar thing I find less believable than the squirrel thing. I didn't know that actually ever happened.
Me neither.
Squirrels are very squirrely creatures by nature.
Man, it was just like.
That's some first rate. That's classic Chuck analysis.
I mean, it was like just like a movie. Like they played Here Comes the Bride twice and.
Nothing.
We're just standing there.
Why would you play that? Why would you start the song if you couldn't find the bride?
That's kind of the.
She was like right outside the door.
I've played the piano.
Melting down.
I've played piano and organ at a lot of weddings. I need a firm thumbs up.
Yeah.
That it's time to start the thing.
Never saw that dude ever again.
Anyway, let's move to our breakfast in bed apologies, which come after our breakfast. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. It is often, frequently, the first time we talk about the NBA, which is allegedly what the show is about.
We've been told.
In theory.
Does anyone have anything they need to apologize
okay,
for?
Okay, guys, we'll just get out of the way. Top of the show. I did my thing last week where I didn't show up, and I want to say I'm sorry. Left my phone, had a wonderful Tinder date on Monday. We ended up, you know, going back.
Too much fun.
Ended up going back to her house for a nightcap.
She didn't have a house.
The next, it was an Airbnb that she lived in with her friends. And
a party. Some party girl comes down to Nashville to right. go to Lower Broad. Chuck, like the shark that he is, circling I'm Lower Broad.
Tinder Tour Guide 2017, Tinder Tour Guide of the Year. So I took her. We had a night, and then I was going to wake up, go to the house, do some things, and then go podcast.
And come to an important podcast meeting.
And an important podcast meeting. I get home and I realize that my phone isn't on me. And I found her on Facebook and messaged her. And she,
did you get robbed again?
She mentioned that she was no longer at the Airbnb. Her and her friends left and went to the airport. So
back to Augusta, Georgia.
My phone is
from.
In an Airbnb. Apparently, some guy named Jeff, Greg. I don't know. I
believed everything
number.
Until he said his name was Greg.
It was one of those white American dude names. And I had to meet him without a phone using my MacBook to communicate with him on Wi-Fi from a McDonald's in Germantown.
All right, it's starting to sound more believable now.
So, yeah, so that was my Tuesday. And then I had a long weekend. I was just flummoxed. I was a mess. And I threw my hands up. And,
you should have just watched the Heat to cheer you up.
That was a day after the Cleveland debacle. I don't know if you guys know that.
Now I see where it all went wrong.
Mighty regression has come for Chuck's Miami Heat.
Oh, they're coming back. They're you know what it was.
I don't know. Bama Potato is going to lead them.
In my worst of the week, you'll hear my Heat rant.
I think the Heat might make a move too.
Let's save it.
I think they might make a move.
Yeah, let's save it. No one wants to hear basketball talk.
No.
Like 20 minutes in.
Well, I feel like we have neglected one of the better and most amazing stories of the NBA season thus far, and that is the sudden emergence of not the, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, blonde-haired, Kristaps Porzingis, Dolph Lundgren-esque, I must break you,
Laurie
European.
Markkanen.
I'm talking about them swarthy Europeans, guys.
Ooh.
I'm talking about Milos Teodosic. I'm talking about Thomas Satoransky, the new John Wall, the dirty, the off-white John Wall. I'm talking about Mario Rhythm is going to get you, Hazonia. And I'm talking about, here comes the rooster, Danilo Gallinari.
those dark cigarette smoking,
stained,
Fernet drinking.
The way, John, the way you say swarthy,
yeah,
makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, swarthy.
It's almost like we're just talking about a whole race of people.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do that with Eastern Europeans.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's so, totally this is an opportunity for me to be racist against my own race.
Does Yusuf Nurkic count?
Absolutely.
Jokic.
Nikola Jokic does not count.
No. He is not swarthy.
He's one of the, you know, he's one of the steroidal.
He's bit by a vampire pale.
Yes.
Zaza Pachulia?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The swarthiest. The most villainous of all.
Yes.
Who's I mean, you gotta be Milos kind of breaking out at being a rookie.
Yeah.
And also Satoransky, just seizing the reins. From the,
did you see him shut down Westbrook the other week?
He's been great.
He doesn't put a lot of numbers up points wise, but everywhere else he stuffs the sheet and he plays good defense and they play better with him on the court.
Well, if you ask me, I don't trust one of them. They're all Russian sleeper agents.
That's fine.
They're all here to infiltrate the world's greatest basketball product,
Moscow Center Hoods,
and they're changing our minds with their Enes Kanter and fueling revolution. That's what it is.
I was going to say, like, easy Breitbart, but Breitbart's on the side of the road. I'm so confused now.
Who knows anymore?
They're pro-Russia.
That's great.
So we should call this, if this was a wrestling stable, this would just be Team Breitbart.
Team Breitbart. My apology, and this is the second time I've apologized to this guy, because I want to emphasize how incorrect I was.
this is your Dwayne Casey.
I apologize to Joe Harris.
Oh, he went nuts the other night.
Canada
well,
Joe.
He has been great this year.
Yeah.
He's become a very good 3-and-D or just three, you know, like he's converting at the rim, a great rate.
Right.
He's shooting tons of threes, hitting a bunch of them. He's become an incredible, valuable asset for the Nets. They can trade him. Like I hear people talking like.
Only his name was Yusuf Haradosevich.
Right. I've heard people saying like, man, if just the Cavs could get like a Joe Harris to light it up. This is a guy when the Nets got him from the Cavaliers. I was actually, I criticized them for saying, like, Joe Harris is not an NBA player. They should be using their roster spots on guys who have potential. Look at my reverse racism. Mm. Like, guys who have potential who could grow to be something better. I don't understand the Nets, when they're so bad a couple years ago, wasting a roster spot on this guy. But they have seasoned him.
Mm-hmm.
Cooked him to perfection. Now he's a great NBA player, so much to the point where he's going to be a restricted free agent, and the Nets have to be like, maybe we should move him before the trade deadline.
I've heard rumors of Joe Harris for Pat McCall.
Yeah, like Joe Harris.
That would be not good for the rest of the league.
Joe Harris would feast on the Warriors. And so this is a guy, again, like 2 years ago, I thought he was a waste of a roster spot, and he has just continually proved himself to be a very, very good NBA player. So I am sorry.
Why does he keep bouncing around? Is that reverse racism?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, he was only on the Cavs, and then the Nets got him, and he's been on the Nets since then.
Don't you think the Cavs could use a guy like Joe
Harris?
That's
what I'm saying. They absolutely could.
I thought he was Canadian. I'm sorry ahead of time. He's nice. He's from Washington.
All right. Well, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best thing, I believe we have some questions submitted by our Patreon supporters. The croissant? Question all.
Any questions?
Yes. Are you going to finish that croissant?
Knock yourself out.
That croissant. Finish that croissant. That croissant.
V-Money asks, other than the obvious answer, Cavs, which team would be the best fit for DeAndre Jordan? Chuck, let's start with you.
I think we should just keep him in L.A. You know,
you stole my answer.
Oh, you could do like the ghost of Luol Deng and Julius Randle, who's being tragically underused.
Oh, you mean that, LA? I think Keith meant Clippers.
No.
Oh, no. I meant Clippers. Just stay where he was.
Just stay where he is.
Oh, you like him in LA? You like him on that lake show.
I say,
huh?
Why not? Let's leave him there, and then you have a young little
somebody needs to clean up Brolo's tears.
Yeah. I mean, you could trade Brolo head up for him, I think.
So I've been paying a lot of attention to DeAndre Jordan lately just because I want to be able to answer questions like these. And he is one of the most confounding players because he's actually very intelligent. And
despite his looks.
And makes a lot of heady plays.
Oh, yeah.
Attempts to make lots of heady plays because his body does not do what he wants it to do at all.
Oh,
he
I've
is
been
a
there.
Flailing maelstrom of muscles and sinew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just it's sometimes horrifying to watch, and I'm just waiting for, like, him to kill someone or himself by wildly running around.
He almost killed Brandon Knight that one time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty awesome. But that actually was highly coordinated.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, he'll make these amazingly athletic plays, but then other times he cannot catch a simple pass. And sometimes you're like, wow, this guy really sucks. And then the numbers are undeniable. And however, I don't think DeAndre Jordan is a player that is going to help any of these teams that are like a piece away at all.
Yeah, I don't understand him on the Bucks, who seem to want him.
Well, the Bucks need all centers. That's their
Their
whole
that's
plan.
Their new rule. The Trailblazers, yeah, it's better.
But
like,
they won't.
Just Olshay obsessed.
But
with
if you keep yourself from paying Yusuf Nurkic, it's worth it, and he's definitely an upgrade.
Right.
And it does make sense for that team to have.
But how much of an upgrade is DeAndre over Ed Davis?
Large, huge.
You think so?
And you know I love Ed Davis.
Everybody loves
Ed Davis is definitely outplaying Yusuf Nurkic right now.
Well, yeah, the Blazers have learned that they seem to be better rolling with Zach Collins and Ed Davis than Nurkic. So, like, if you could upgrade those guys to DeAndre Jordan, it makes sense to have, like, you know, you have a guard-dominant team that aren't good defenders, and Damon CJ, to get a guy in there who just catches the lobs and rebounds is good.
If the Blazers add DeAndre Jordan, they are truly hamstrung, though.
Already hamstrung.
Yeah, I mean, they have no move.
They have no
wiggle room at all. So, like,
I like it. It's like one of those, like, all right, you're all in with this, five seed, which again, I'm fine with. Like, they're already.
So you think of the teams, that's the one that could benefit from it?
It makes the most sense. My official answer to the question is just keep them in Clipperland. Why not?
I'm with you. I feel like that's the best fit for them also. And the Cavs, I don't see it at all. Justin Barrett asks, you are a journalist and have to describe the East and the West so far in two headlines. What are they?
So mine would be in the West. My headline would be dubstep, repetitive and droning warriors keep on winning. That would be mine.
That was really good.
New York Posty.
Very. And then in the East, it would be Cavaliers, ha 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 ha.
God, the Cavs. Good God, the Cavs.
I got so much more on the Cavs, but that would be those would be my headlines with no further commentary.
I like it. Keith, you have any?
Not to that level.
No.
I really set the bar high. I was going to think
Chuck
something
came
about
in here like Joseph Pulitzer.
The East, right for the plucking. Can Kyrie or Kyle harvest the?
You misspelled DeMar DeRozan. I'm not really going to touch. I think I'm just going to give Chuck one of these.
Yeah, Justin, your question feels too much like homework.
Mm-hmm.
I choose not to respond.
I did homework, and I'm just embarrassed that Chuck's answer is so much better. Let's move on to Feeling Minnesota's query. Describe the shock and awe you will experience when the Houston Rockets partake in their annual playoff tradition of failing woefully short of expectations. This is sure to feature James Harden crashing and burning at the most critical of moments, this time mixing with CP3 yet again failing to reach a conference finals.
Okay. So what exactly are their, expectations?
I think the Rockets are going to reach the conference finals,
right?
At least.
So if they don't, then this is all plays out. But if they ended up losing to the Warriors in 5 or 6, we're not thinking that's a failure of a season, even if it does happen in a dramatic fashion, because it's kind of predicted. Look,
you cannot think of losing to the Warriors as that deleterious.
Even if we have our classic yearly James Harden forgot to play basketball a few games, like it's happened in the past.
I think what we all want is James Harden and Chris Paul to play.
Mm-hmm.
For Chris Paul to not get hurt
right
in the first round.
The yearly tradition.
Or something weird. And then whether or not Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, the Prince, Luka Mbamute,
Gordon's Fisherman.
Gordon, if those guys can step up in the playoffs, like I always think the offense of Gordon and Anderson dries up in the playoffs. I don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Anderson's going to be gone.
For whatever reasons. So maybe they have a chance to move him for something. But I don't think I'll experience any shock and awe, Mr. Norman Schwarzkopf, if that happens. I think that's kind of what we're all expecting. I think I just hope we get,
Yeah.
We get what we're hoping for. We see a healthy team, and I assume they will lose.
And I just don't see what Feeling Minnesota is seeing. I think the team is too stacked.
They're very stacked.
But they do have a history of dummery in the playoffs. All
those players individual separately parts, might have a history of it.
The individual parts as
this team is pretty different now.
Is there any team but the Warriors that we think could beat them? I mean, the Spurs are in trouble.
Maybe the Timberwolves if they turn into like a playoff thing and they can figure out.
I'm
defense a little better.
Deeply obsessed with the Nuggets right now, so I can't. Yeah. Rationally answer.
Don't
this
be ridiculous.
I love
the Rockets would mop the floor.
I love them so much. How many points have he scored in that game? 249
at least.
Let's go back to Justin Barrett. He asked, "Which player would you revoke his starter membership immediately and stick his buttocks to the bench?"
Trey Kirby.
Ooh.
Oh no. Oh, you mean? Sorry.
Well done. That was a curveball too. I was certain you'd say Lee Ellis.
Yeah, he's dead weight.
Which starter would I put on the bench?
I know. Who you're
I think this
say.
Is really easy. It's J.R. Smith,
Henny.
Who probably shouldn't be an NBA player this season based on his body of work. Cavs need to do something, and
it
is
so fun to hang out with.
You have to stop playing J.R. Smith.
Chuck, who you got?
Do you know how, like, you ever seen Jay Leno's car collection?
Absolutely, right? I have.
And, like, he'll show you his first, like, selection, the cars you first see in when you go into the garage.
It makes Seinfelds look like my two Toyotas.
Exactly. But imagine in those first few cars, there's some sort of, like, European clunker that has awful mileage. But
a gremlin.
But it's big, so it fits in his, you know, repertoire of daily drivers. Sure. That's Zaza Pachulia.
Okay.
So that you've got a team. Oh. You've got a team with all these sexy Ferraris.
Chuck, you
got
to have somebody do the dirty work. You need a swarthy gentleman.
You need this dirtbag Eastern Georgian.
Easy.
European. No, he's a gypsy. Get out of here. and he's, you know, he just doesn't fit the aesthetic. You know, I'd much rather JaVale McGee starting. At least he's
That's
like
crazy.
He's a
crazy
good Ferrari
Chuck.
Engine. You know?
Zaza Pachulia does his
you
job.
Don't remember Zaza?
He guards the big guys.
He'll stick that foot underneath you.
He's part of one of the best lineups in the league, and I think it's because he's obviously the weakest member of that lineup.
If John, you or I were plugged into that position, we'd be in one of the best lineups in the league.
No, you cannot put Kevon Looney in there. You cannot put Damian Jones in there.
JaVale McGee.
You put Jordan Bell in there.
Jordan Bell.
No, Jordan Bell, they need the girth and the screen setting.
He is a screen setting machine. I have better answers than both of you, believe it or not. It's Jarrett Jack. It's Jarrett Jack.
You just give it all to Trey Burke?
Good Lord. Anyone. I mean, I know it seems like Ntilikina might be a two guard. If you watch him regularly, it seems like maybe he's not ready to handle the point. Maybe it's not what he's supposed to do, but Jarrett Jack just bogs them down on both ends of the court because he can't stop himself from trying to take over.
But what's great is he looks like Elmer Fudd from Space Jam.
Wow, Chuck's on fire.
That's pretty good. All right. Well, those were our questions from our Patreon supporters. The croissant questionnaire. If you want to submit your own question, you got to join our Patreon. Become one of those awesome souls who financially supports our program. You do that at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast.
You get videos. You get weekly power rankings. You get to interact with a whole community with us. It's really fun, and we're starting to do more and more every week.
And again, the very popular option, might I suggest, the $3 a month Slack chat where we talk about basketball. People in there, we're also doing the Pickle Pick'em we got going on, our fantasy leagues over at fantrax.com. So if you're a longtime listener of the show, you want to step it up, become like an actual friend of the show, do it at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. One more time, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast.
If ever you wanted to discuss old WWF Coliseum videos with me at 4:30 a.m., this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
Have you guys seen that new movie?
Which one?
Phantom Threads.
Is that a Star Wars movie?
No. I have not seen the Phantom Threads.
Stars Kevin Love Lewis and Isaiah Thomas in LeBron T. Anderson's Phantom Threads, a brooding and kinky NBA dark comedy. A limited engagement feature that will somehow win no awards, despite its awe-inspiring cast and crew.
Oh.
Do I have to know something about the Phantom? All I know is P.T. Anderson directed it.
Yeah. Well, all I know is I am enjoying the Kevin Love, Isaiah Thomas interactions to a degree that is just titillating me. Mm-hmm. I could watch that video of him handing the ball to him on like the Zapruder film, just on loop, back and to the left.
I didn't know it could keep getting better. It was Kevin Love throwing a jersey
on Jeff Green's face.
Jeff Green's face, same game. They do the... Shout out to Ball from Grace. He said a wonderful comment. It was like the stupid SpongeBob meme, you know?
Yeah.
Where like, here's your rebound. Like, it's kind of this ridiculous caricature. Like, it's a meme. And I don't know. Kevin Love's out for a few weeks. Hopefully they can get some, like, marriage counseling. Get Dr. Phil in there trying to, like, mend fences with these two because it seems... IT is the center of it all. And you could tell nobody wants him on the team.
And what happened? Did J.J. Barea, like, blow by Isaiah Thomas and then, like, Kevin Love just decided, all right, I'm just going to go break my hand.
Right.
I've had enough of this.
Like Marcus Smart punching a hotel
right.
mirror.
I've had it.
Or Amari punching in a fire extinguisher. This is all part and parcel of a larger plan.
So Jeff Green kind of just seemed pretty easy going.
Right.
About having that jersey thrown in his face.
Yeah, he was kind of
cool. That would have.
Who's the worst option? To have a jersey thrown in their face.
On that team, J.R. Smith.
He would not have done that to J.R. Smith.
Ever.
In the world?
Yusuf
Nurkic's dad.
In the basketball world.
Yusuf Nurkic's dad.
I wouldn't do it to Z-Bo ever.
No!
In my life. Think about it. I would apologize if I dreamt
I think
about
Z-Bo
doing it.
If you did that to Z-Bo, he would cut your face off of your face.
I disagree.
Wear it like a mask.
I think Z-Bo would laugh it off.
At this age.
Much like, I think, when like Devin Booker tried to like... He threw like a little forearm at Z-Bo.
Right.
And Z-Bo just laughed at him. Just said, like, no, you know, no, this is not.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Ruben Patterson's the answer. That's crazy.
Whoa.
I think Ruben Patterson would just.
Saying in the Jailblazer universe.
Sprinter's block would just jump off of that bench without hesitation. Just go for the throat.
Need somebody who's like wired wound way too tight. Russell Westbrook? That'd be a bad one.
That's pretty good.
I thought he was going to jack that fan up.
He should have.
I mean, yeah, that fan, that was ridiculous. What was that fluffy? Was that Gabriel Iglesias?
I think it was Turtle from Entourage.
Yeah,
it's
was
like
ridiculous.
The personification of every male Entourage viewer.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
ridiculous.
Distilled.
It was like Latino turtles. Tortuga.
Yeah, Tortuga.
Well, I didn't totally understand your mistake and X best thing, but all you Phantom Thread viewers out there.
I'm sure there's a huge swath.
Okay, so Kevin Love and Isaiah Thomas go way, way back.
Right. Like, oh, yeah.
And they are in a tortured, kinky relationship now.
I like it.
Which, if you've seen Phantom Thread, Vicky Creeps is poisoning Daniel Day-Lewis throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, perhaps they'll reconcile. And the last thing Kevin Love says to Isaiah Thomas before the curtains close is, kiss me, dear, I'm going to be sick.
That's hot.
It's a kinky flick.
I thought we were going to talk more about either Bright or the new Cloverfield, which I did actually watch. Shout out Netflix.
Really? Did it work in the Super Bowl? It shocked you?
I love the first two Cloverfields.
I can't even.
The third one was
I get motion sick.
Bad.
Any sort of movie that has handheld, I get motion sick.
Second
like Blair
one,
Witch.
Two and three are not handheld.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You must have hated One Night in Paris, huh?
I don't believe I ever watched it.
I don't know what that is.
Isn't that the one with the gay drag queens?
That's One Night in China.
Oh, that's Paris is Burning. Sorry.
Either way.
Go ahead, Keith.
My best thing is, reluctantly, Blake Griffin going east.
Woo!
He's been fantastic for the Pistons.
He's
point
on
God,
fire.
Blake Griffin.
When he plays, they have the point differential of a 60-plus win team. He looks incredible. This looks like the thing he needed. He's elevating. I mean, well, Reggie Bullock is still playing out of his mind.
Right.
Suddenly, Stanley Johnson is kind of stepping up into his role.
Except for last game, he was trash again.
But, like, they're playing really well, and it seems like is moving east the best thing for Blake Griffin? Like, he hasn't so far hampered Andre Drummond at all.
No.
And the Pistons look like kind of a fun, good team. They're breathing down the necks of the 76ers, getting back in that playoff race. And it looks like, immediately, short term, it's going to pay off for the Pistons. And maybe it was a good move. Maybe a few years from now, we'll have a different story.
Right.
But so far, all early returns are Blake Griffin to the East is working out great for team and player.
And for both teams.
Oh, for the Clippers, too, definitely. Yeah.
But I think for Blake Griffin especially, you know, you basically become a man in L.A. with all of the distractions that city and its glorious glamour entail. You ship out to the middle of, car country in Detroit Rock City. He can't go out to the clubs because he'll get slapped by every person that exists in Detroit. They're all harder than him. So he has to stay home, shoot his jumper, and watch game film. So it's best for him because Detroit's a real city. It ain't L.A. You know, you can't just go out gallivanting.
You ain't going to the improv.
No, you're not trying to catch a UCB Herald right. you know, in Detroit, you know. So stay your ass home.
Into Matt Walsh and Lieutenant Dangle.
Right. And, yeah, so I think it's a good environment for him. He's going to focus on basketball. He's motivated by this trade from the franchise who basically promised him the world.
Into Rick Mahorn under a bridge.
It's great. And yeah, I think they could fight and with another piece, you know, maybe be in the top three next year in the East.
Does Tim Allen not have his own comedy club or something?
He might.
Where he sells cocaine out of the back.
Calls it Tool Time.
Yeah. Maybe Blake Griffin could franchise something from the old Tool Man.
I think we could see it happen.
Come on, Blake, save comedy in Detroit.
8 Mile 2.
I know nothing about comedy in Detroit.
No, I don't think there is.
I don't know anything about comedy in Nashville.
It's probably best.
You're looking at it, bub.
All right, so I hate to talk about the Cavs again, but I want to talk about the Cavs again because it's amazing. This is all great. Everything's going wonderfully for me as a Heat fan because they're just disgusting. Well, the best part of all this, let's say there's like a particle accelerator accident and like a thunderstorm gives the Cavaliers like superpowers.
Right.
A la the movie or the TV show The Flash. Flash comes back.
Meteor Man.
You thinking about Hancock?
Yeah, that's it. This is all. If that's the only way, the Cavs probably going to beat the Warriors. And if it does happen, then Dwayne Wade ends up with the same amount of rings as LeBron, which is, I think, the most like
y'all think
psychopathic thing.
You think Cavs even going to sniff the Warriors?
No, they can't. I don't think they'll. And I was going to be my parfait away, but with Greg Monroe giving those Celtics a little bit of firepower.
Moose knuckle.
I think he could score, and he'll be useful in them in stretches because they're having trouble getting
Brad Stevens
points off the bench.
Moses Malone, and I'll walk into the ocean.
Watch.
So your contention is Greg Monroe tipped the balance of power.
I just think it gives a great team a little bit more, and when you're talking about a team that's that good, and you know, it has its ups and downs during the year, but it's developed young players, it's got a superstar, it's got Al Horford and his wonderful eyebrows.
I got to say what I'm loving. You guys laughed at me in our preseason predictions, but it's on the table.
What's that?
Cavs miss playoffs.
Celtics Cavs first round 1-8.
I
said in the preseason, you guys laughed. It is on the table.
I'm pretty sure I wanted that.
Furthermore, Keith, to your point,
that was a jinx.
Him with numbers on Twitter. You guys follow that guy?
No.
He's got a model that's pretty interesting. He's really into gambling, et cetera, et cetera. So that's Leslie. I follow him.
Surprise. Yeah.
36 in his simulations, Cavs are missing the playoffs 36% of the time.
Yowzer.
Before Blake Griffin scooted his ass to Clarence Boddicker Town.
And
hell, on basketballreference.com, they're down to 2% chance of getting to the conference finals.
Right.
But that's all numbers. That cannot read that there's a superhero on a team.
Right. And that is like he's dormant.
However, LeBron's worst year he's ever had.
Let's say though
negative he's a negative net rating for the first time since his rookie year.
Right.
But let's say that you know, they don't make a move, they don't move that pick, and they end up with some sort of like weird in between team that's kind of hurt, blimping in. Yeah, LeBron's kind of showing the signs of not being there in his body language now. He's got like shades of 2010 LeBron, 2014 against the Spurs LeBron. He's just not there caring about it from the eye test. So I could see it happening. Little sneak.
So
there's no way he doesn't make
the
playoffs.
You guys are,
nuts.
As of today, my birthday, you guys are thinking it's going to be the Celtics or the Raptors instead of the Cavs?
I'm thinking it's the Celtics for sure. I think you can see that team, you know, gelling by the end of the playoffs to beat whoever's put in front of them.
Thomas Satoransky.
Uh-oh.
Tomas Satoransky.
If
you want to know the teams I have that are going to be.
If the Wizards can turn John Wall into a contributor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You got the Wizards.
I've got. let me list the teams I think are much better than the Cavs right now. Raptors for sure. Celtics for sure. Ooh, Wizards. And the Pistons are coming for them. These are the teams I like more than the Cavs right now in the East.
That's insane. I still believe in LeBron.
See,
he's my hero. He's my savior.
It's the worst I've seen him.
You know, it's been a very smart bet for the past whatever
billion years.
You know, 12 years to bet on LeBron and you know him making the playoffs. 1 year it won't happen.
You know,
and it didn't, and you know, we all thought at one point it would be nuts that a Kobe Bryant led team wouldn't make the playoffs.
Guess if
Cavs roster is so old, so rickety, so poor.
If the Cavaliers fall apart, you know who ends up looking the best? James Jones.
Yeah, of course. The world's greatest
glue guy, baby.
The missing ingredient. All right,
can we put him second behind Andre Roberson in the MVP race now?
Yeah, I think so. All right. The opposite of our steak and eggs is our cream of wheat. The cream of wheat. Worst thing. What's the worst thing you saw?
I got to talk about, I stayed up brutally late for Mavs Clippers because I love basketball and hate myself.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the end of that game?
This was Monday night Mavs Clippers.
No.
I did.
Grotesque. Dennis Smith playing mindlessly. Mindlessly. And the only thing I can say about this, they blow the game. They, in the last 5 minutes, they allow a 13-0 run to lose.
That's sexy.
I want to say on our Patreon-only Slack chat, John said the following thing, and if you're listening with children, skip forward 15 seconds. Dennis Smith Jr. is farting blood on both ends of the court.
Yeah, that is true.
That's a very
It was true. Dennis Smith Jr. has turned his tank on.
God.
He's shooting, I think, 30% over the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
It's February. And those young kids, down. Those and legs, you know, aren't ready for this.
But what I... This is a cream of wheat, but this one has a little bit. You know how you can sprinkle sugar on top or like the strawberry preserves? I don't do this, but I've seen this done.
Yeah, yeah.
So Rick Carlisle is finding a way to make this cream of wheat palatable because he's taking those young – because at the end of that game, he could have put in J.J. Barea and some older guys and closed it out. But he put those young guys out there and let them take their medicine.
I feel like
– So he lost the game, moved up in the tankathon. I mean, that's the best way to do it if you're a Mavs fan.
It is. I feel like almost Dennis Smith Jr. needs a reprieve over the last few weeks. He's been so bad. It's like four turnovers a game and shooting 30%, and he's not hitting his free throws at all.
And look, he's playing poorly on offense and defense. He finally gets a chance to win the game after a hilarious jump ball between DeAndre Jordan and Salah Mejri, where DeAndre Jordan practically slaps it into an alley-oop for Avery Bradley at the other end.
I got to say, that was a beautiful play. Yes. So there's like 5 seconds left.
Heady play by DeAndre.
DeAndre Jordan, again, heady play. Who he did, and he pulled it off, despite you doubting his coordination.
Truly.
He pulled it off.
Knowing
he would run the clock out. He just batted that jump ball as far as he could. Avery Bradley
shouldn't have scored.
Should have done the NFL kneel at the one. He just should have rolled the ball into the corner. That would have been so incredible. That's the kind of basketball play I love.
But Avery Bradley scores. So then they're only up by three. Dennis Smith gets another chance. Catches the ball out of bounds.
That was bad. That was tough. There was hardly any time left.
The only silver lining is the way Carlisle handled it. And then also, Boban got to come in for 0.2 seconds to defend the inbounds pass.
Boban is not the breakout fantasy star. We might
know.
It turns out Jeff Van Gundy and Doc Rivers both believe that he's worthless. That's incredible.
Shush.
Here's mine.
Stan's going to be mad at you.
Yeah.
He's got way more hair than Jeff.
My cream of wheat, right?
Better handles, too.
We're looking. I was hoping, and you know, it gave me hope when the All-Star team selections came out that the Miami Heat weren't going to have a single All-Star.
Oh, you wanted that snub motivation.
I wanted that Spoelstra snub city, just lighting a fire, bulletin board material. And now we've messed around. We sent Wayne Ellington to the 3-point contest, and with Kevin Love being out, the Dragon is getting sent to play. Where's the All-Star game this year?
Los Angeles.
Oh. Yeah, it's great.
Although I do really like the designs of their new Snub City jerseys.
The all white. It's just a snub nose 38.
I got to say, Kimball Walker, why is he getting punished so hard for just because his team is bad?
I think that does matter. And when you've got
it matters some, but like Goran Dragic, come on now.
When you've got a team like that, you kind of want to give the ideas to, you know.
The argument is they have so many wins, they give it to the best player on that team.
Josh Richardson?
But who is the best player on the Heat?
Yeah, anytime it could be Kelly Olynyk or James Johnson. You really don't know who their best guy is.
Bama Potato.
Kimball Walker's playing so well. It hurt me a little bit that he didn't get it.
He is great, but yeah, I think that's like the old school coaches kind of like traditional thing. It's like, who's the best player on the best team that hasn't made it?
The Wizards got two All-Stars.
Those guys
put Kimball Walker in.
Dink.
I'm angry how much we've talked about the Wizards.
Kemba Walker.
We have always agreed we will never cover them on the show.
Kemba Walker.
Because no one cares about
them.
I've never met anyone who cares about the Wizards.
There's no Wizards fans.
You don't have a buddy named Hinch or House or Smurfy or Sully or
My worst thing, it's almost a human interest story. I was trying to explain this to someone.
We going back to Boban?
Red Panda.
Oh, no.
And if you don't know, listener, Red Panda.
If you don't know, hang up the phone.
Well, a beloved halftime entertainer.
Falling on hard times.
She's
on stage and off.
Well, you know, her,
been
her
dropping
her,
plates.
Her act is, you know, she kicks the bowls on the unicycle, kicks the bowls on her head. It's breathtaking.
It is incredible.
It's amazing.
Never gets
so
old.
What happened was her custom-made unicycle was stolen from San Francisco International Airport.
Those thugs.
And everyone. Thug
singular. I think it was a red-headed white man.
It was a
everyone
TSA
is outraged. I'm seeing all these national NBA writers being like, who could do this to Red Panda? I think there's a lot more to the story.
Here we go.
I think this is a conspiracy. Now, it's not Chuck's, but this is my turkey bacon conspiracy theory. So I think this is what happened.
It's like wormwood.
Mainstream media has not been reporting on this. We've been talking about it.
Because this is real news.
Red Panda has been struggling on the court.
Mm-hmm.
She retired, and then, I don't know, maybe she realized there's no 401k for halftime performers.
Social Security checks is light.
She decided to come back into the game, and she's been dropping bowls left and right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
and
been great.
You can see it on YouTube. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes in Memphis once. I see people talking about it on Twitter, like, oh, yeah, you know, she missed her bowls again. I feel like this is like an embarrassing post-retirement comeback. So I think what happened was Red Panda's like, you know what? I need to hang it up. But I can't hang it up. I got too many bills to pay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to hire someone to steal my unicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't have my unicycle, this is my out.
Boom.
So, like, she hires someone. She leaves it out. They come and grab it. Kind of like I'm thinking of the scene in the Amazon original Patriot.
Mm.
The greatest
they just
TV show.
Kidnap that guy
years.
On the airport elevator. It's incredible. Watch the show.
It's
anyway, I think she's I think it's like a false flag operation, sort of. You know, where it's an inside job where she's hired someone to steal her unicycle, so she doesn't have to perform anymore. She can be off the hook, get out of these upcoming dates because she just doesn't have it anymore. I know people are on the case. They found photos of the assailant.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, she wants it to go away.
Keith, once again, you're the McNutty to my bunk. You've got your harebrained serial killer narratives, and I'm just going to do good old-fashioned police work.
Okay.
Let's just follow the clues here. Let's follow the evidence, the hard evidence. Let's check into priors. Let's see who's got a record of criminal history. And then let's look at the tape. Tall, redheaded, Caucasian, desperately wants to get back into the NBA at any price. This is a Robert Swift caper.
Ooh.
This is very clearly a recidivist Robert Swift caper. Case closed. Bunky Burr. What really happened.
I thought it was going to be Brian Scalabrine when you started talking.
White Mamba.
I thought we agreed never to make fun of Robert Swift after that horrifying expose.
I'm sorry.
You couldn't tell, but in my head the whole time you were coming across with that, I was just saying the word over and over again. I think it's obvious. Red Panda, she's worried about her family's illegal immigrant status. She's got a lot coming,
It was ICE.
And she's worried
ICE
about,
done it.
She's always worried about somebody coming around the corner. It's a hard life out there.
It's a hard
for
life.
Somebody who may not have filled out their travel visa.
I'm just saying
properly.
Don't solve the case. I know the Golden State Warriors have offered to replace her bike. I assume she's sitting there saying, don't replace my bike.
Nah, bro.
Let me go.
Can I sell this
go
bike?
Fund
Let me go.
Yeah.
She's the...
Can I get a smaller unicycle this time? What if she was just like, I did this wrong. I could have done 3 feet unicycle instead of a 12-foot
she's
one.
She's like, this unicycle is way too unwieldy.
Because she falls, has to practice and fall daily, and that's a spill.
Yeah.
Maybe she's just like, maybe I downgrade. Everybody else is happy.
Maybe it was our boy, friend of the show, Amazing Sladek. Tired of all this red panda.
That's right.
It is underground.
The Lulied red panda.
All right. Well, those were our cream of wheat worst of week. You guys been playing that draft app? I know John is back.
You know it.
On there. Draft.com/fastbreak. I've been playing. I took that one day off. It's everything I needed. Resetted the system.
See, that's what I did too.
I'm back on that winning ways. If you guys want to download the draft app, you can play daily fantasy, but the way it's set up is you do a snake draft. It only takes a couple minutes. The draft itself is super fun, and then that's your lineup for the night. You're not playing against pros. You're not playing against sharks because it isn't worth their time.
You get to play against us.
Yeah,
follow
and
us.
So the way we do it, we just play against our listeners. I'm on there as Fast Break Breakfast is my username. So if you download...
I don't even know my username.
Yeah. We'll try to figure
probably
it out.
Probably my name.
Yeah.
Probably
so
can I give some free draft advice? don't follow their projections.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't follow their projections. But you can go over, you scroll right, sort by swarthiness.
Satoransky is incredible.
Mario Hezonja, who lines up as a guard for some reason, unstoppable in draft if Eric Gordon's out.
So we've been playing against our listeners. Again, if you use our code FASTBREAK, you get a free $3 entry into a game. I mainly just play the $1 games. It's super cheap. It's super easy. It's completely legal. You can use your PayPal just to put some money in there.
And you can go play for way more than that.
And you can play for way more than that if you're John Burr. So go to draft.com/FASTBREAK. Use our code FASTBREAK. Again, the Draft app, highly recommend it. It's been part of my daily basketball routine for almost 3 weeks now.
I've made $210.
That's pretty good. I'm up 8 units.
Woo! That's the right way to talk about it.
$8.
That can mean anything.
All right. Scattered, smothered, covered. What are some other things we're seeing across the NBA?
Can I talk about the two teams I'm most obsessed with and I think are most interesting at this moment?
Yes.
And actually, I'll put it to you in a question. Between these two teams, whose resurgence is more impressive to you guys? The Nuggets or the Jazz?
I also, maybe we've become too hive mind alike.
Uh-oh.
You're becoming you're Danny to my Nate. I also am obsessed.
Wait, Nate, wait. Did you say my name? Wait, hold on. Let me answer your question. Go ahead.
What's going on? Jazz and Nuggets are both incredible.
Can I give you some Jazz stats real quick, Nate? The Utah Jazz, since Rudy Gobert's return, have a 10.9 net rating, good for first in the league, 50.5% shooting percentage, good for second in the league, and a 7-2 record, good for second in the league. Also, Nate, the Jazz, rest of the year, I can't do it anymore. 23rd hardest strength of schedule. It gets easier.
Yeah.
Come on. Check it out. We were worried about the Jazz not making the playoffs.
I'm so optimistic, but I don't want to jinx it by talking about it too much.
Well, hold on. I got a little more. The other West playoff bottom four contenders? OKC has the third hardest schedule. Denver has the eighth. Clippers ninth. Portland 10th. And if you want to throw the Pelicans in there, which I don't anymore, 13th. The Jazz can do this.
Well, so the Nuggets, also impressively, last week had an incredibly hard schedule.
And 2-2 and... The two they lost were by skin of their nuts.
Skin of the Will Barton pull-up jumpers. So the Nuggets have been really impressive, really rounding into shape. I feel like Trey Lyles should play even more. We're even seeing some Daryl Arthur out on the court.
Daryl Arthur starting sometimes.
I think, to answer your question, I'm more impressed by the Jazz. I guess Ricky Rubio is playing out of his brain.
Right.
Donovan Mitchell had the huge games, and he got sick, and they won even without him. They've been dropping. They're dropping 130. They're having 60-point halves. I can't even speak.
Yeah.
60-point halves every half they've played.
And that's
five games.
That's with Rodney Hood trade audition games thrown in there, too.
I think he's shooting 75% in his last two games. On the Nuggets front, you have Jamal Murray coming into his own, just playing incredible basketball. The ball movement is much crisper. I feel like they're kind of finding themselves finally. Like, Jokic doesn't look sick.
Keith, gleaning from the show notes, I think this is a good time for me to... You had a question, and you tweeted this out. Who would you rather have? Donovan Mitchell, 21 years old, 5 months. The aforementioned Jamal Murray, 20 years, 11 months. Or Devin Booker at 21 years, 3 months.
So I'm a Devin Booker hater. Like, right. Everyone knows I don't really like his game. So
he's third on my
list.
He's
the most accomplished.
Yeah.
I don't want him.
No.
For me, it's Donovan
Mitchell. Good numbers on a bad team guy.
For me, it's Donovan Mitchell because I feel like, and I guess you can read this however you want and you can be deceived by your own biases, and I could be in this situation. I feel like Donovan Mitchell makes the nebulous winning plays.
Okay.
Like, I feel like he does the right
thing. That's really interesting to me because I feel the opposite. I feel like Donovan Mitchell right now is the more athletic, more explosive, more impressive player right now. But to me, Jamal Murray is the guy who makes the more winning plays and makes the headier plays. And to me, he seems like an NBA star for years to come. Whereas I could see Donovan Mitchell being like a kind of like a guy who has a few good years, maybe one all-star year and then kind of disappears.
See, I think Jamal Murray right now is on an incredible hot streak.
That could also be true.
And I see these crazy shots, and some of them I don't feel like is incredibly sustainable. Like, we know what Devin Booker can do.
He's a really good passer.
We have years of Devin Booker doing it. The fact that Donovan Mitchell can play some point.
Right.
And I think is a superior defender now.
Certainly.
Combine that with what he's doing on an incredibly offensively starved Jazz team. Jamal Murray has the luxury of playing with – Nikola Jokic, who
everyone on that Nuggets team is scoring in bunches,
and every time throughout Jokic's career, everyone who plays with him has better numbers, like hugely better numbers. So for me, I say Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
But second place is also Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of Devin Booker, but
I think Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray are stars.
Yeah.
Stars in the making.
Yeah.
Chuck, what do you think?
Yeah. Don. He's the one.
The hurdy-gurdy man?
I don't like Devin Booker either, but I could see him
Devin
fitting.
Booker is better than we say.
I would see him on my Miami Heat team a la Dion Waiters filling the like hefty scoring load.
That's a great – so Chuck, if Devin Booker had spent his whole life on the Miami Heat – with Eric Spoelstra.
Would we like him?
With Pat Riley?
Yeah.
I think the Suns might have ruined him.
Yeah.
I don't know that. It's chicken or the egg. Yeah. I feel like playing for a team going nowhere, losing all these games, and it was just like, do whatever you want.
Right.
Score all the points you can. It might have kind of ruined him.
Yeah. You can kind of break your understanding of what the team game is early on in your career with bad habits. But yeah, he might be one of those guys like, well, we could have drafted him over Winslow. I think he was the next pick after.
I think you're right.
So yeah,
y'all trading Winslow. You know that?
Hey, I gotta say, you guys screwed
for
that
Tyreke Evans.
Yeah.
And remember, Danny Ainge was gonna trade all those assets for Winslow. Why couldn't that have happened?
Because we
saved me from some asshole embarrassment.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened this week was CJ McCollum scoring.
Oh, before we leave, R.I.P. Steven Adams ankles. Ooh. Due to Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray.
That was not okay. That was not. Oh, Jakar Sampson got dunked on so bad.
Levined.
They sent him back to the Reno Bighorns.
Yeah. I totally get it.
He got dunked straight to the G League. No, I said CJ McCollum scored 50 points in three quarters.
Outstanding.
And again, my unabashed hatred of Devin Booker. I was like, just play him in the fourth quarter.
Let him get it.
Let's get 70 points just so we talk about Devin Booker less.
All the less Devin Booker. I get it.
Yeah. Almost Klay Thompson-esque.
Sometimes good players end up with bad situations. I think Devin Booker, I wish it would be like a different alternate universe where he was on a good team.
What's cool, though, is Devin Booker is a piece of trash person and very annoying, so yeah, I'm enjoying
he
this.
He looks like a kid. He has like one of the top five punchable faces in the NBA.
If they recast Karate Kid right now, he'd be in Cobra Kai.
Oh, easy.
Oh,
he would 100%. Be Billy Zabka.
Yeah, Billy Zabka reference. Love it. John from the top rope.
That's right.
Before we move to the International Stackhouse of Pancakes, I think last thing, the Nikola Mirotic trade.
Yeah.
No trade.
I feel like it was a good trade for the Pelicans. Like, it worked out. They had to send away a first-round pick, but they unloaded Asik and they turned it into Nikola Mirotic.
Right.
It seemed like a good thing. Tony Allen is on the Bulls, by the way.
Thanks.
Has he been in uniform? Is he with the team?
I know he's number 25 for some reason.
I tweeted that. Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was, because I had to find out. I'm still looking to find a Tony Allen shirt. Also, if you're in New Orleans and listening, get to me. There has to be a Tony Allen something in the team store that's on clearance.
I don't know if they made one.
They might not have made anything.
I've looked, Keith. I don't see Tony Allen.
It's not
merch.
Very.
I don't know why you're sending us back down this road.
Anyway.
You hate my guts.
Well, Tony Allen's 25 because Antonio Blakeney is number 9. Lauri Markkanen is 24, his other number, and then 42, which was on the Celtics. That's a Robin Lopez. So he did choose 25.
Rolo.
I do want
Rolo
to make
angry,
a custom make. Oh, poor Rolo. Getting tossed. No, Nikola Mirotic.
Rolo's going to get fined.
Early returns on the Pelicans, not good.
No.
Like, they've looked bad. There's going to be an adjustment period, but what do you think? You think the Pelicans are in serious, serious trouble?
Yes.
Yeah, they're arguably their best player on any given night. The future of the franchise is in disarray because of it. You can't sign him in the offseason because he's probably not going to play next year. And we're talking about Boogie.
Oh, they're going to sign him.
They're going to? I mean, I guess they have to, but would that be a smart move? You know,
Pelicans are going to end up in the lottery.
Yeah, and then now you've got this ticking clock of a player in his prime who's going to huff and puff now. If he doesn't have the help requisite to get to the playoffs and make some noise. So, yeah, that injury has, you know, put a big, like, strain on that franchise and is going to make them, I think, do a move that they wouldn't normally if they had all these pieces healthy.
And once again, like, this is kind of the Pelicans team.
We know
what they're going to be next year. Like, yeah. they can't really move a whole lot. I thought the Mirotic trade would be really good for him. I thought it would make some more natural lineups. I'm a little confused how it's worked so far. like just in their game on Monday night, they rolled out Emeka Okafor,
right,
and Cheick Diallo in a front court with like Ian Clark. It was the worst lineup, and I was like, oh, are we
gentrification is real?
Are we already to this point? And you know, part of my, you know, I get a lot of grief on the Slack chat for being I'm a Boogie agnostic, but leaning against believing in him.
Right.
Like, I'm still like, I would like, he could prove me wrong.
Look, with Boogie, they're like a fifth or sixth seed at best. Now they're just not going to make the playoffs.
Well, so one of the big things was like, I was curious how this absence of Boogie, what the drop-off would be. The initial reaction was they won their first game against the Thunder without him, but then since adding Mirotić, they've looked kind of a mess. So I don't know. I'm worried once again we're not going to have enough data points for this season to even draw more conclusions. Like,
right.
Was Boogie taking over games and doing his incredible stat lines we've never seen before?
Right.
Is it helpful? I guess kind of helpful, or was it damaging to the other team, to the other players? I don't know.
And we saw last year when they traded for Boogie, they had a rough time, Alvin Gentry and his team, getting those players to kind of, you know, meld and work well together. And now you're doing, you know, losing a great player and then adding, you know, a middle of the road, you know, above average power forward, who can stretch the floor a bit. And he, you know, that doesn't seem to be like Alvin Gentry's strong suit, is assimilating talent and getting them to play together.
But they need to buckle up, because now we got a playoff race.
Yeah, and
if the Jazz keep winning, the Clippers and the Pelicans stumbling. So we kind of thought the playoffs were wrapped up, but who knows?
No, it's real. The Jazz resurgence is real, and I mean, their SRS is in the negative now. This is not a good team at all, at any level, and I don't really see how anyone can really argue otherwise.
Hey, look, the king cake baby, though, right?
Well, it's horror lives.
The king, it's king cake baby time.
Yep. Well, let's move to the
awards.
Play
him at the four.
Let's move to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, given each week to the worst performance in a box score. We have a few honorable mentions. Wayne Ellington, 0 for 9. Tim Hardaway, 1 for 10. Dennis Schroeder, 2 for 16. It's a pretty good week when a 2 for 16 does not get a nomination.
I can't believe it.
Brick City.
We have three nominees as they occurred chronologically over the past week. Lou Williams in a loss to the Trailblazers, 5 for 26.
Wow.
Whew. 5 for 26. Did
building
he?
Houses and dropping blouses, Lou Williams.
Did get 20 points, 1 rebound, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 4 turnovers, 1 personal foul. Wes Matthews in a loss against the Mavericks.
He's been so hot, too, lately.
He's coming back for my iShop team. Wes Matthews was 2 for 17. 6 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 5 steals, which is incredibly sexy. 1 block, 1 turnover, 3 personal fouls. And then, once again, Tim Hardaway Jr. in a loss at the Bucks, 1 for 14. 6 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 turnovers, 1 personal foul. And the first father-son combination, I'm guessing, to ever both go 1 for 14 in NBA games.
Ooh.
Actually, I have no way to look that up.
No, it's
that would take me researching every father-son combination. But anyway, we have three nominees. Lou Williams, 5 for 26. Wes Matthews, 2 for 17. Tim Hardaway, 1 for 14. This is tough.
It's hard for me to give anybody who gets 20 points iShop.
Well, he does not miss free throws.
I mean, it was a very Stackhouse line.
Yeah,
that is actually very Stackhousey, because he was
not necessarily the worst,
right? Yeah, I guess I'll go with Lou. I'll go with Lou.
You gonna give him the volume? 5 for 26.
He's got the volume. You know, yeah, it's the volume. I'll go with volume.
It's really weird. You don't normally see the 2 for 17 for some reason.
That is
normally
a
2 for 16. Normally is the highest we get there,
right?
But also, I don't know.
I'll go Hardaway.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go Hardaway as well.
Yeah.
1 for 14, always special.
Right.
Mm.
So, all right, Tim Hardaway, continuing the family bloodline. You are this week's International Stackhouse
Ishvorp update.
We got an Ishvorp from our
power listener, Matt Sullivan.
This is the our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Fantasy League over on Fantrax.com.
These are the most inefficient of efficiencies.
So if you don't know, our iShop League is basically where we celebrate and raise up all of the completely inefficient players that get a lot of tick. So these are a created metric, the Ishvorp, basically describing how bad a player is using numbers.
coming in 10th. Evan Turner, 9th.
Not
Mark Schnell, Tony Schnell.
Ooh.
8th, old friend and former Grizzly. Never goes to his left, Jared Bayless. 7th, Wes Matthews. 6th, the worst player in the NBA, Wilson Chandler. 5th.
Been a rough year for Wilson.
My least favorite player in the NBA, Marcus Smart. 4th, Dilly Dilly Brooks. 3rd, Fat P.J. Tucker. 2nd,
P.J. Tucker's at the 3rd?
2nd, the Stanley Steamer himself, Stanley Johnson.
Dookie.
And 1st, Keith Starter, J.R. Smith, the plumber. Matt sent in a comment. Remember when this list used to be full of Heat players?
Yeah, something about that team turning around.
Josh Richardson was definitely the MVP of like the first half of the season.
It was incredible
in the negative fantasy league.
There is an interesting
turning around.
There is an interesting stat that Reddit brought up to me today. Malik Monk the other day, he managed to get nothing on his stat line except a steal in a road game.
Oh, so close to a club trillion.
That is officially called the LiAngelo, when all you get is a steal on the road.
He joins
DJ Wilson, who also did that this year against the Heat. But yeah, that is the Reddit user T Saverit 4 did it. So congrats. That's a great little
also
thing.
Also, I guess that'd be a good time to shout out, you know, Nuggets rookie Tyler Lydon. Finished his rookie year with a trillion.
Nice.
Two minutes played, no stats. A 2 trillion for we traded you for Donovan Mitchell.
No, I thought you got hurt.
Pretty good. All right. Par fadeaway. What things are we looking forward to?
I don't think it's going to happen, but please God, trade DeAndre and let me see Boban play some serious minutes in this world. I want Boban and Tobias to play on the same. I want Toban to be on the court at the same time. That's it.
Bobias.
Yeah, I like Bobias better than Toban.
It's better.
Noob Bobabot. That would be it.
I'll do it.
Get it.
My par fadeaway is the tank race is heating up, and we're recording this podcast lame duck style. A huge Grizzlies-Hawks game happens in a couple hours. The Grizzlies, who have not beaten an Eastern Conference team on the road, playing the Hawks, who are ahead of them in the tank race. Massive game.
You must have loved that tankathon performance by the Bulls last night.
It hurt me. I actually was pulling for the Kings in that one.
My God, man. That.
Yeah, the Mavs, just quitting.
The Kings scored 9 points and won with De'Aaron Fox going out. That's artful tanking, Bulls. By the way, Zach LaVine, games he plays over 20 minutes, no wins.
Yeah, well, it was predictable.
Wow.
Unfortunately, so the there are 7 teams within 2.5 games of the worst record.
Just to let us go out with a little highlight there on the Tankathon. Everybody check out tankathon.com. I'm going to sim the lottery right now. Utah Jazz, first pick.
That's not okay.
That doesn't seem possible.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, they're taking the Dodgers.
Here's what I have something to look forward to. Someone asked a Cavs player how much DeAndre Jordan would help them, and he said, quote, Montel Jordan would help us right now.
This is how we do it.
Montel Jordan then on Twitter says, I'm good for 2 points, 1 rebound, and 5 good strong fouls, which is about all they can ask for.
So kind of J.R. Smith.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson.
But actually, Montel Jordan's like 6'8".
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he is?
Yeah, sneaky tall. Sneaky tall. If you watch
is drop hits.
Yeah, if you watch the This Is How We Do It video, well, look at him dancing, and you can tell he's gigantic.
Designated driver, take the keys to my truck.
Yeah, one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah, in lieu of a Grizz epilogue, because we're recording lame duck style, I will say the Memphis Grizzlies on a road trip, while benching Tyreke Evans, are playing really good together. Like, I am really excited about Andrew Harrison.
I'm glad we're having a Grizz epilogue, because I would just embarrass myself slobbering all over J.B. Bickerstaff's staff. God.
Yeah, this is all just, you know, the swing that a new coach will bring.
Well, the swing wasn't there. They lost their first 10 or whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, after a while, you guys seen every...
J.B. Bickerstaff.
There's something about the freedom of the players, but, like, I'm really optimistic about Dylan Brooks, about Wayne Selden, about Ivan Rabb.
Rabb.
Their position is... I'm almost worried. They're playing too well. They're going to win way too many games.
He's got Deontay Davis playing okay.
I know I think they're sitting Deontay Davis against the Hawks. That's how
it's
you
good
do
for
it.
Them.
Solid, fun team to watch, and they're going to ruin all chances of getting a meaningful player.
I really
think
they're playing too well, and I feel like Marc Gasol has like decided he kind of likes playing with Dylan Brooks and Wayne Selden, and again Andrew Harrison. You know,
best ball movement we've had in years.
He's like, you know, maybe 15th and most improved player, But
number one in my heart.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely blown up. So that'll be your Grizz epilogue, and it is hilarious. There are probably going to be many trades before this even gets released early Wednesday morning. We didn't even talk about many trades.
We'll talk about trades, all right.
Because of that. But we are going to post something for Patreon for our listeners with a little bit of trade talk, like Jared Bayless. Can the Sixers unload him? Will the Grizzlies get a first-round pick from either the Nuggets, who don't want to pay luxury tax? It's exciting the next couple
of
days.
Or the Celtics, or the Sixers, or the Heat, or the... Everyone want Tyreek.
Going to be amazing. All right. Well, you guys go to draft.com/fastbreak. Download the draft app. Play against us and other listeners. Support us at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?